Hello, and welcome back to Listener's Voices. I am Frances, and I'm here with
Fran.
We're on episode number 7 of Listener's Voices. Animal companions is what we're going to be talking about today. You can find this show on our website at ktwh.org under Listener's Voices, under that drop-down tabs, and you can submit your responses to our prompts to ktwhwriters@gmail.com, either in written form or in voice memo form.
They can also bring them into the station if they want.
Yes.
Written or even mail them in to P.O. Box 622. And you might, in Two Harbors, 55616, especially if you want to completely remain anonymous, that would be probably the easiest way to do it.
Although we will observe requests for anonymity. We don't leak these things.
Right. We've had anonymous submissions already.
Yes.
And respected them.
So this is part 2 of Animal Companions, episode 7 this is. And today we've got a myriad of different animals than we had last time, in addition to cats and dogs as well.
Mm-hmm. I put out a call for farm animals.
Oh, you put out a call for it?
Yeah.
No wonder.
And we got a couple, and a couple other sort of not your usual pet, not uncommon. You'd find them in a pet store, but and even pets on canoe trips. We're going to get to that before too long.
That's the kind of pet I like. Somebody will come and hang with you wherever you go.
Right. So we overlooked one last week. Amy submitted, told us about her snake, her, what was it, a ball python, I think. Mm-hmm. And I missed the last part of her document that she submitted about the snake, and she also had a little to say about a cat earlier in her life. You want to read that for us, Frances?
Yes. I'd like to also mention my first pet, a cat named Dusty. I got her when I was 7 years old as a present when I stopped sucking my thumb. Embarrassingly, it took a long time. She stole my heart, and I will always have a soft spot for tuxedo cats because of her. My heart still aches when I think of Dusty and how much I miss her dearly. My mom is a piano teacher, and she was notorious for crawling on students' laps and staying there for entire lessons.
Sweet.
I can tell you that this is almost the picture of my cat, Mr. Darcy.
Oh, really?
A tuxedo cat, all black with a white tuxedo in the front. Uh-huh. And that does tug at my heartstrings to see that.
Hmm. Scroll down and make sure we didn't miss anything at the end down there.
Yes. Huh? When I got my senior photos taken, of course, I had to bring Dusty along. She unfortunately passed away while I was attending college my sophomore year. Oh. What a sweet picture that is.
Yeah, she included the picture with Dusty. So thank you, Amy. Glad I noticed that.
Yeah,
it was overlooked. Let's see. I also wanted to mention on the subject of pets in general and all the good they do for us. A friend of mine is a religious follower, you might say, of Michael Osterholm, the epidemiologist who has recorded weekly YouTubes ever since the beginning of COVID. Specifically about COVID. I don't know what all he's talking about these days or if it continues, but she did happen to mention to me, tell me about him mentioning the most response he got to any of his nearly 4 years of episodes. I think it's gone on at least through last fall, if it's not still. He talked once, apparently, about pets and the important role they play in people's lives and in healing, really. I don't know exactly what he said about it. It's just that I don't know if he spent the whole episode, but he talked about the good effects of pets on people's lives, and he said he got the most response to that episode and that subject of all of his YouTubes weekly for 3 or 4 years.
Wow, that's quite a lot.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. There does seem to be a lot of scientific evidence to the benefit of pets in general.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. So we'll hear lots of, actually all the submissions this week were recordings. We didn't have any other written ones.
Other than Amy's that we didn't get to last time.
Right.
All right, shall we introduce the kind of animal or shall we just go?
Well, we're going to start from some of the more usual pets and gradually
work our way to the exotic.
Right. Yeah. So we'll start out with a couple of submissions about dogs here. And I personally knew the first one that we're going to hear about here, and then another one from our friend Richmond.
All right, here we go.
I have had many animal companions in my life, but the one I want to tell you about today is Cosmo. Cosmo was a stray who wandered into a camp over in Wisconsin. They already had too many animals and too many kids, so they didn't want to keep him. We went over and took a look, but we were taking a trip to Alaska that summer. So we said, you know, if when we come back, this dog is still here, we'll take him. Well, we came back and the dog was still there, so we took him. But the connection to the Two Harbors area is we were out with our buddies, Lynn and Diane, out there in Brimson years ago. And we took a sauna. That was nice. It was a beautiful summer evening. And we came out and we couldn't find that Cosmo, but we heard him. He was barking. We looked all over. Well, turned out they had a well that was covered up, but it wasn't a deep well. It was just a little bit of a thing. Anyways, it was a hole that was covered up with a piece of wood, or we thought that was covered up with a piece of wood. Somehow Cosmo got in there, and that's where we found him. So whenever I go out there and take a sauna, I always think of my dog Cosmo. He was a Shepherd Airedale mix. Very, very sweet. Often gave himself timeouts. And when he got older, he did have a little bit of doggy dementia. So a lot of times, you just find him staring in the corner, gave himself a timeout. But he was a great dog, and he spent a lot of time with us with our cabin out on Little Stone Lake, too. So that's my story about one of my animals, Cosmo.
I meant to explain, that was Kathy Helter, whose voice you might recognize. At one time, she was the MC for our cabin fever reliever. And, yeah, she has a cabin up in Brimson, and so she's, what would you call it, a weekend cowboy in our area. So let's hear from Richmond next.
Hello, this is your roving reporter Richmond, sharing one more animal companion story. This is one of the many stories of a dog named King. King was a German Shepherd with black and tan markings and beautiful form. He was an impressive sight. King was part of our family for 10 years. We got him as a puppy when I was 11 years old. Fast forward 8 years to where our family lived on a farm in Swan River over by Grand Rapids, Minnesota. Well, King did seem to like the move at first, especially because we let him roam free. But, sadly enough, though King was ever so friendly with people, note, he would have been a terrible guard dog, as he would have just greeted anybody, any intruders, with a smile and a lick. It was good, though, that he wasn't a jumper, because at 130 pounds, he could have injured someone. Well, friendly as he was with people, it was an opposite response to any other animals in his line of sight, hearing, or smell. Other cats, dogs, squirrels, the cows, the chickens, horses, and porcupines and skunks. Yeah, he would come home often smelling of skunk, and we would just have to get him clean with whatever methods we had available. I think vinegar was popular. Well, worse than that were his encounters with the porcupines. And I recall several times when we sat with King in the back of our pickup and took him to the town vet with a mouthful of porcupine quills. He just wouldn't learn, and as a result, much of the time, we sadly had to keep him on a long leash attached to his doghouse. Well, I left the farm to seek my fortune in Minneapolis. When I returned for a visit, my dad said that King was dead. Dad was very upset, more than I'd ever seen him, as he explained to me that King had run away and been gone for a couple of weeks, and then a neighbor told my dad that he had shot his dog as he was with a pack of wild dogs who were chasing down deer. I understand why our neighbor did that, but still I was very angry with him for what he did, and as I felt the loss of losing King. Thank you for listening.
I don't understand why somebody would feel the need to shoot a dog just for chasing deer.
Yeah.
Is it a local thing that I am at
no,
a loss for?
No, it's different mentalities, I guess. Mm. Yeah. And another dog bigger than me. 130 pounds. Wow. Wow. Thank you, Richmond. Give us something to think about, all right? The next couple voices, there are two Joyces down in Little Canada who are both supporters of the station. And the first voice, I think, is Joyce Libra. She has volunteered for us in the past and is a regular supporter, and you may recognize her voice. So she had cat she's going to talk about, and then she had to replace the cat, and she replaced it with something else we'll hear about. And she was in the company of another Joyce, Joyce Scherer, who also lives down in Little Canada and is a supporter of the station. And we'll hear a story about one of her cats. This is from her childhood. Okay. Let's hear the
Joyce. I had cats for 70 years.
Uh-huh.
Until I parted with Jasper last year.
Yeah.
Oh, Jasper
and
was...
Tabby. Yeah, Jasper was a tabby. Okay. And Jasper was not happy living in a condo. He wanted to be out and eat grass, and it was against condo rules.
Mm-hmm.
And we had all these problems, and he'd get out. Neighbors would cross and get angry, and they'd threaten me with $200 fines. So I knew I had to give him back to the shelter that he had come from. And it was an arrangement. They wanted him back. And they'd heard enough from me that they understood what kind of a home he was. So
sure.
I parted with him. And the day I went and parted with him was also the day the condo gave me permission to get a guinea pig, because I'd been wanting a guinea pig ever since I moved here. So she was a wee 8 ounces.
I remember.
Yes, she was so tiny. And she's not like the typical American satin guinea pig, where it's really sleek, short fur.
She's got this little tutu back here.
Yeah, that little tutu, that little red tutu.
I like the tricolors, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just become more pronounced. Mm-hmm. So the name Fuzzy Butt fits even better.
Yes.
I like this little tomahawk.
She's been coming up to visit Joyce since she was a wee 8 ounces. And I've spent a lot of time with her, wanting her to be a visitor and to be open to people.
Oh.
And she'll sit in my lap for an hour and a half.
Well,
and
see, when I had her and she curled up under my arm here and just snuggled in.
Yeah, she slept in your lap.
Yeah.
She really has. And people really seem to enjoy seeing her as much as they did Jasper.
Mm-hmm.
Jasper, my last cat, walked around the building on a leash.
Yep.
And for a while, I had a cat sitter for him while I went to work. She would come in about halfway through and take him for a walk. I'd be walking down the hall around here, and I'd run into especially younger people, and they go, "Hi, oh, hi, Jasper." Talk to him for a minute, and then look at me and say, "Who are you?" Because they'd only seen him out with
her.
That's
funny.
There were people that I ran into after he went to his new home that I would run into downstairs, and they'd ask me about Jasper, and I'd tell them he'd gone to a new home. And there were several who actually teared up and said they'd really miss him. One of the things I really enjoy about animals is the joy they bring to other people, well as myself. Oh, tell that story, Joyce.
Well, I had always had cats, and it was a ritual that my bush, sweet father had all the last-minute chores to do before he went to bed, and one of them was to put the cat out. He would send the cat down to the basement, and the basement was furnished. It was a nice, you know, and it had nice stuff where the cat could sleep and what have you. But that was his job to put the cat out. So they were in bed, and this was a story they told. fading off to sleep, and all of a sudden, thump, and the cat's on the bed. And Mom said, "Ralph, didn't you put the cat downstairs?" And he said, "Yeah." And she said, "Well, you didn't close the door tight enough." Mm-hmm. So he picked up the cat and put it downstairs, climbed into bed, and a few minutes later, kapunk, the cat was up on the bed. And she said, "Ralph, please close the door harder so that the knob latches." So he did, and it went click, and he came back, and the cat was back on the bed before he got in. Well, it turned out the cat had learned how to turn the knob. Because the next time he said, "I'm going to sit here and watch." So he's sitting in the kitchen waiting, and he sees the doorknob slowly turning. So he opens it, and here's the cat hanging on the doorknob. Now, how did the cat know how? I mean, and he couldn't just reach up, but had to leap. It was about a foot of air, you know. And the cat is, and he's watching the doorknob turn, and they pull, and here's the cat hanging on the doorknob. So then they had to put a knife through, you know, the door, and then through the frame to keep the door locked. Mm-hmm. But it was so much fun because Mom said, "Ralph, didn't you put the cat out?" And he said, "Yes."
I love that image of a cat hanging from the doorknob. Yeah, so that Philadelphia accent, that's Joyce Scherer.
Hmm.
And we'll hear more from her later about various menagerie of pets that she had. But first, we'll hear from our mutual friend of both the Joyces, Becky, right in town here. Becky Norlin has had a cat growing up that engaged in an unusual activity for cats. So let's hear from Becky next here.
This is Becky in Two Harbors. The prompt this week is companion animals. So I am thinking about Dodo the cat that was part of our family when I was in grade school. She was a gray tabby with some white, fairly affectionate, tolerated being played with pretty well. I remember being scratched a few times. And she went along when we went on vacation at least some years. In those days, we made a summer trip into the Boundary Waters. And at least a couple of times, she went with us. The first time we took off in the canoe, with her riding in the canoe, she squirmed around and jumped into the water. Dad very calmly fished her out with the paddle and dumped her back into the canoe. She never did it again and would peer over the edge to watch things go by and seemed fairly okay being in the canoe. I remember being about 8 or 9 and having the job of portaging the cat, holding her in my arms as we got stuff across the portage. And then making sure that she didn't get away while we got the canoes loaded again. When we got to the campsite, she would be tied to the tree. And I remember the first night, we got up in the morning, and she was on a fairly short rope. And around her were several dead voles that she had managed to kill, these critters that had never seen a cat before, even though she was tied to the tree. So that was a marvel. One time we were about to leave at the end of vacation. This was at the cabin. And she had not showed up for a couple of days. And we were worried about whether we would have to leave her. Dad was warning us that he was not going to do additional searching. He had done some, just very calmly telling us, you know, well, if she shows up, she shows up, and if she doesn't, she doesn't, and making preparations to leave. And I remember being quite worried about her. And he announces that we're going to have our final meal as a picnic. And of course, he's very calmly slicing salami when here strolls in Dodo, having to have a sniff and see what we've got. And afterwards, I thought, for as much as Dad pretended not to like the cat, he really understood what would bring a cat in, if anything would. So that's my story about Dodo the gray tabby. Thank you.
Music.
the kids and the cats and let's go. Grab the kids and the cats and let's go. Freezing rain keeps us from flying.
I thought that was a perfect song for grab the kids and the cats and let's go, even if it's to the Boundary Waters.
Yeah. That's quite a trip for a cat to take. That's wonderful.
It's the first time I've heard of a cat in the Boundary Waters. Thank you, Becky. So more from Joyce Scherer now. It goes back to her childhood in Philadelphia.
So tell me about your pet chicken, Joyce.
Well, Aunt Ruth lived in Delaware, and it was a three-hour drive, and halfway there was a hatchery. And we always loved to stop at the hatchery because there was this long line building. And on the other side, on the roadside, they would throw all the eggs that didn't hatch.
Oh.
So we would go, and sometimes the eggs would hatch, and there'd be baby chicks running around there. So we would take this big box and gather up all the baby chicks, and I was the only kid in Ridley Park that had our own chicken farm. You know, and we had this wonderful yard. Our house was on the corner, and it was L-shaped or triangular-shaped. And so there's no way once they got bigger they couldn't get out. So my yard was full of chickens. And people didn't mind, but two of them became white leghorn roosters. And they're not only very, you know, the hucksters, the guy, back then people would go door to door selling their vegetables. And they did not like the huckster. And so as soon as she came through the gate, you know, and up the steps, they would get their chicken poached, you know, where the head goes down and the breast goes out. And he would have this peach basket top, and he'd be using that as a shield she's carrying. They just didn't like this guy. We were afraid if they attacked him, you know, he could probably sue us. But you don't really want to mess with a horny white leghorn rooster, because they don't call them white leghorn roosters for nothing. But I loved those silly chickens, and I could sit on the steps, the back steps, and they'd come and jump into my lap.
Oh, neat.
And they'd all snuggle in, and I thought, dude, are chickens?
How many chickens did you have on your lap?
Two.
Oh, okay.
But finally it used to be. Anytime I had a pet that later became annoying. My father had two maiden aunts, Aunt Dot and Aunt Grace, who lived in Norristown, which was a fair piece up the road. But late at night, when we were all in the bed, he'd gather up all the critters and take them to Aunt Dot and Aunt Grace's house, because they had this little mini farm, you know. And we'd wake up and wonder where they were. Well, we didn't have to ask. And Aunt Dot and Aunt Grace used to take these animals, and they had a veritable chicken farm. But it was funny because he'd do it at night, and I thought, well, you know, I wish he would say they're a problem and we need to go. I wake up and the chickens were gone.
Aww.
And, you know, so that was the first time and only time that my dad wasn't really totally honest, but he just hated us to be sad, you know, when he gets so weird. But the chickens, they were fun, and they actually had personalities. And I would get really, really nauseated and just be throwing up and throwing up and throwing up all night, and then it would go away. Well, it turned out my mother thought I probably had salmonella, because I was the only one, and I'd be really, really sick. And
you were the one who was playing
with
the chickens.
Well, I was holding them and, you know, kissing them. You don't want to kiss chickens, you know. Oh,
wonderful Carol Burnett. It's from her variety show back in, I don't remember, we saw that, 1970s maybe?
Early 70s, late 60s.
Yeah, yeah. Very funny woman, Carol Burnett. If you are too young to have known her.
You should go back and watch YouTube. Carol Burnett is the master female comedian.
Yeah. And actually, to search for Carol Burnett chicken song or chicken in YouTube, because watching that performance is fun, too. It's at least twice as long as what we played here, but there are four of them up on the stage dancing to
really,
it.
Really well mimicking
done. the chickens, right. Acting like chickens, actually. So that was fun. And we have one more contribution here from Joyce Scherer about her, from her youth.
Tell me about Toby the turtle.
Well, I had more than one turtle, but Toby we had for years. I would keep him in and out of the house in the summer, and then in the winter they would sleep. We had this wonderful ivy bed that had lots of thick ivy, and they would sleep in the ivy bed. And then when the weather got nice, they would crawl out and say, "Come on, take us in," you know. And it was really, and they kind of were in and out of the house. My mother, this one turtle, it was a very old house that had the kind of, you know, the big wide opening that had, you know, the living room on this side and the dining area on that side, and then you had the glass doors that you could close. It was a very old house. And so she let the turtles, I don't know, the turtles apparently didn't poop anywhere. There was a problem because the turtles lived in the house. So we'd be sitting in the living room and Toby would come plodding in. "Hi, Toby, I haven't seen you for a couple of days." And it would sleep under the tin cup cabinet in the kitchen. And if you were sweeping or something, he'd come out and go. At one time we had cats, dogs, rabbits, chickens. What the heck else? It was an odd.
The turtles.
Oh, turtles. Well, yeah. Turtles were a given.
Oh, and you had a hamster, too.
Oh, hamsters. I forgot.
Tell me about the hamster.
The hamsters. They were fun. I had my long-sleeved blouse, stick them in my... They'd run up the blouse and down the back and out the other side and poke his little head out while we're eating. And my father would say, "No rodents at the table." You know? So it turned around and doop, 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 back and out the other side. It's so funny. You're sitting there and all of a sudden this little rodent peeks out of my sleeve. You know, they really put up with a lot.
Well, thank you, Joyce's.
Rodents and turtles at the table.
Yeah, you had them all. And chickens on the side. Let's see next up. Well, we're going into the goat phase of the show now. We've got a couple of goat stories. And first one is from a friend of mine named Adriana.
Hello, my name is Adriana. And several decades ago, I had two nanny goats that someone gave me. And of course, I didn't know what to do with them. But I built them a little house and put a little fence up and, you know, just loved them. And I just had them for several years. And they just got bigger and bigger. One of them's name was Buttercup. And I can't remember.
Daisy.
Daisy? Was that the name of the other one? But Buttercup seemed to get very big after the years. And I'd been through several winters and things were going okay. And then we got a lot of snow this one winter. And you know how it goes when the snow melts on top and it gets hard so that you can really walk right on the snow late winter. So I like to keep them penned up. The neighbors appreciated that. And so I realized that one morning when I got up, Buttercup, the bigger of the two, was outside of the fence. So I went on to wrangle her and chased her around the yard a little bit and got her back in the fence. put a little leash on her and, you know, fed them. And I couldn't figure out how they got out. Then went out a little later, and sure enough, she was out again. So I put a little rope on her, and she just jumped right over the fence, or actually walked right over the fence, because the snow was so deep that she could just walk over the fence and get on that hard crust of snow. And just, she had a good time dragging me around the yard by that leash, because, of course, once I got over the fence, I just fell over. And she kind of just dragged me around like a little cart. It was kind of funny. After I realized what was happening, I just started laughing like I am now. And I don't remember how I got her to get back in the fence and got her to stay there. But I eventually did. But that was our activity for the day. And she enjoyed it immensely. And I did too, and once I got used to it. But I don't know the end of the story, because I think I just, maybe I tied a long rope to her or something to keep her in there until the snow got soft. I just can't remember. But it was kind of a memorable story.
Indeed.
Yes.
Well, thank you for sharing that, yeah.
It was actually kind of, it's a good memory.
Yeah. Oh, well, good. Yeah.
Not
everybody could say that being dragged around your yard by your animals would be good. Well,
I have
done.
A picture in my mind of that great big down coat you had that was practically like a big red balloon around you, and that balloon being dragged around by a buttercup.
Like a big blue marshmallow.
Erma gualdan cher contro di vora I kem hoz meg dolle mehel He kas viram meg gomor kjoi Ak pokan kron se erbille
Hallelu, hallelu, hallelu Ham kop erbille, hallelu, hallelu
Wishing Korok at a foot of window. It's Trasker Dovwar, Shanson, the Tortoga. What's the known the brown left window?
Hallelujah, 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 I'm conquered with the hallelujah, hallelujah.
Gorilla false often may have learned since on the heart and lame before left on the corner of Halle Bicker.
So what we're listening to, this goes out to Adriana and her crazy goat dragging her around the yard. That was a chieftain singing a song called The Mad Puck Goat. And we have the translation for some of it here. This wouldn't explain all of what we were just playing, but the lyrics for this song. I'm the mad puck goat of Killer Glen, and I'm a terror to your every foe. Come sing to my sacred memory, from Dromore out to Dingle, a carrion the devil I go, a driving the villain before me. So, had to get a little music tribute to the goats in there, and we might get another one later. But Adriana and I actually knew each other back in the 1970s. I don't remember if she had her goat in the 70s or the 80s. Wouldn't have been any later than that. But around the same time, when I first moved up to this area, I also had some goats, and we'll hear about that in the next segment here. Well, this is Fran, and Adriana's goat story inspired me to share my own goat story. And it's from approximately the same era, perhaps. This would have been about 1972. And like my last week's story about Kuma, the consoling black lab, this story starts with a breakup of a relationship of mine. In this case, we had started out the summer with high expectations of growing a huge garden. This was the so-called back-to-the-land era, even though we'd never been at the land in the first place. And we were going to raise goats and have goat milk. And so I don't even remember where we bought the two goats, but we had two nanny goats. And by midsummer, we realized that we didn't work together that well. And my partner found an organic farm down in southwestern Wisconsin that she wanted to work at for a while, live and work there. So we loaded up the two nanny goats in our VW Bug. I think we took out the back seat and put down a bunch of hay. And, of course, the engines are in the back of VW Bug, so I'm not sure exactly how that worked out. But there seemed to be plenty of room for them back there. And there may have been a kitten involved as well. We headed out from Duluth, and, of course, it's a long drive down to southwestern Wisconsin, so we had to stop for nourishment along the way. And we pulled into an A&W drive-in, a kind of thing that we don't seem to have around here anymore either. You park at the little stand with a microphone and a menu and decide what you want and call into the main building and tell them what you want. And we ordered two root beer floats and a pail of water. And I don't remember exactly logistically how that worked out, but we did get our root beer floats, and a nice pail of water for the goats in the back seat. And as you can imagine, we had lots of stares along the highway, lots of people craning their necks to see what was in the back of our car if they really believed what they saw. And we made it down there, dropped her off, went back home, and by the end of the summer, she decided it was time to move back to Duluth, and she had to bring the goats with her, and by that time they had had two little goats. I don't know if it was one each. Goats typically have a pair of kids. But so the trip back was even more adventurous with four goats in the back of the VW Bug, and I know there was a kitten involved in that trip. We were still friends, but we weren't really in a relationship anymore, so the goats were soon sold to someone out in Hermantown. And I imagine their offspring, several generations removed, are still with us somewhere out there in Hermantown. Ah, that was the 70s.
I keep hearing stories about small cars full of goats. I don't know.
Oh, really?
I thought it was a one-off thing, but I just keep hearing these stories.
Oh, really?
Well, you're not alone.
Oh, well, interesting. Yeah. Well, there's one more goat thing we can share later, but I think first I'd like to hear this next segment that you can maybe say some about or just roll it for us, Frances.
I solicited this entry from my daughter. I'm going to try to get her to give us material every week, and this one's near and dear to my heart. She, well, let her explain it.
Hello, my name is Seneca Dykes. I went to college at CSU Monterey Bay, and I volunteered at the Monterey Bay Aquarium with the sea otter research and conservation program that they have on the roof of the Monterey Bay Aquarium. So I got to help raise baby sea otters for a couple of years in college. And my first sea otter pup was 595. She was the first pup that I cared for, and she was the sweetest, sweetest little pup. And sea otter pups act just like puppies. And she was just so so excited to be groomed and to be bottle fed. And she loved to push my sleeves up and then nuzzle her nose against the soft skin on my forearm. And she would just hold her little paws against my skin, and she would just be so happy and content just feeling warm skin. And that was one of the sweetest, most special things about getting to care for baby sea otters, and especially 595.
Wow. It was really neat to hear her convey stories about the sea otters over those 4 years. And she took, especially 595, she took care of that one repeatedly because it was released to the wild, then came back, then was used as a mother surrogate for a while. So she had many iterations of relationships with this otter over the 4 years. It was really incredible to listen to.
Wow, that's pretty darn unique. Wow. Do you think if we could get a picture? Do you have any pictures of 595, you think?
They're actually not. They have to wear disguises when they go in to care for them, and they're not allowed to photograph anything inside the Monterey Bay Aquarium. I'm sure there are pictures somewhere.
Well, maybe we'll find a stock photo of a sea otter to put
The Monterey Bay Aquarium does post.
I'm sure, yeah. Yeah, find one for us.
I'm sure I can drum up a photo from the Monterey Bay Aquarium.
For the sake of any listeners who might have heard us live or on the radio in the last week and didn't have reason to go to the website, we did post some photos of the pets we talked about last week on the website, so you don't have to listen to the whole episode again. But let me see. Toot is there, the pigologist. The Goku, the snake.
The ball python, yes.
And Radar, the consoling Tibetan terrier mix. Radar in the lap of his... would be his grandmother, so to speak. Yeah. So check them out, and we'll find some for posting this week, too. So...
What did we decide on for the next episode's prompt?
Oh, good point. Yes, we should do that, because we're going to... This is all of the submissions we have for this week. We're going to play some other kind of relevant things, but next week is My First Job. So whatever people want to share about that or remember, if it was a good experience or not, if you learned anything, we will take submissions responding to that up through next Wednesday night and possibly extend it for a week after that, but we're not sure, so don't wait for the second week.
Don't wait for the second week.
No.
Give us your answers now.
There might not be a second week, so... And again, so it may be if you just tuned into this, the email address you would send your either written or voice memo recording to is ktwhwriters@gmail.com, or bring them to the station here in the Harbor Landing Building, corner of 7th Avenue, 7th Street. Slide it under the door if nobody's here, or you can mail them to us. That would be to P.O. Box 622. Two Harbors, 55616.
Great. So what else do you have here that we're going to share?
So we have some random but relevant animal sounds from my favorite new website, aporee.org. I highly recommend it. It's easy to get sucked into hearing their field recordings from all around the world. And you can search by subject or by location. And I've spent a lot of time listening to these various ones. And let's see, the first one we have lined up is some roosters in Portugal. And this is at 2 in the morning. And multiple ones, I believe. So let's see if we have this queued up correctly. Oh, we just don't have it loud enough. They'll be coming. Because there's so many of them.
And people don't like roosters. What the heck is wrong with them?
Yeah.
Maybe you just need more than one to make it a
fire. Right. So that looks, zoom out a little bit. The interesting thing about this site is you get aerial photos of where the recordings were made. And as I said, this is in Portugal.
Not far from the coast.
Not far from the coast. Oh, it's on an island. That's right. An island off the coast of Portugal. Zooming out to see.
Wow, quite far out into the ocean.
Wow. Indeed.
What,
way out there.
What a lovely spot to go visit.
Indeed. Yeah. So there's another one. Let's see which one. Yeah. This one is from Taiwan. So I picked this one because this is in Taiwan, as I said. That voice, that's kind of the neighborhood microphone informing the neighbors of whatever they need to know. And it reminds me of Korea, because that would happen in the countryside in Korea. And back in the years when I was going there, you would often encounter chickens on the buses and so forth. It probably doesn't happen as much anymore, but... Rooster in the background.
What do we have coming up next here?
Okay, we're phasing into the goat part here. this is probably...
Herd of goats and bells. Who don't know?
I think this one is in Germany.
Portugal? Cows and goats?
Oh, is that what it says?
Are there two? Are these two separate ones? Then it's not the cows and... It's just a herd of goats and bells. And that is... Yeah, that does look like Germany. I can't pronounce it.
Yeah, it looks like a German name.
Peter T. Fenbeck.
Oh, right. I think it's probably this one.
No, that's the next one down. This is... Udo Noll.
Maybe let's just go to that one.
All right. Well, switching goats.
Ah. Nice bells. That looks like it's definitely in the countryside.
Not far from the coast. Again.
Ah, so that's Spain. Right, or Portugal. Yeah, it is Portugal.
Says Portugal.
Yep.
On the Atlantic side. Mm-hmm. Of the continent of, well, landmass.
The peninsula.
The peninsula.
The which southwesternmost is... corner, looks like. Just about. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Sounds like wind chimes with the cowbells or the goat bells.
Yes. actually very close to the beach.
It looks like it's just a lone little farm out there by itself.
Okay.
So let's see if I can... Did we get the goat song queued up?
Oh, the nabe, Allah, ya now. How the nabe, Allah, ya now. How the nabe, Bamarugo. How the nabe. Allah's it. How the nabe, Allah, ya now. How the Nabi Allah lak ya na? How the Nabi bamarugu? How the Nabi Allah lak ya na?
This is in Morocco.
How the Nabi Allah lak ya na? How the Nabi Allah lak ya na? How the Nabi bamarugu? How the Nabi Allah lak ya na? Zid. أو مالك يا يا برا تبكي 12 كاس دارت بي كشف بازينة عندر فيك جرد النعناع دور جيك أو مالك يا يا برا تبكي 12 كاس دارت بيك الشبة زينة عنضر فيك جرد النعناع دور جيك خصنا الدواء
الدواء
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله يا وقيبكم تلخمة متريفة وحصيات مياه من غرف إلا بالصوف والنار من الله نفس الحال.
So as I mentioned, this is in Morocco, where the goats climb trees, I'm informed. I tried to find out more about this particular song, and I couldn't, but other than finding out that the goats do climb trees in Morocco, and then I discovered a film that has just been completed called
Goat Life.
Right, Goat Life. I don't think it's even available anyplace. Just recently completed, and... Goat Life is this film that is based on a true story and of a Indian, what would you, I don't remember if he's considered a refugee, but anyway, he went to, I believe, Saudi Arabia trying to earn money to send back home to India and ends up getting involved in a kind of life of servitude with a goat herd, apparently. And I couldn't find out anything about the actual folk song from Morocco we were just listening to, but they do have a song from this film on YouTube that I was kind of taken with too. We'll close the episode with that song after thanking you for listening to listeners' voices here. This program will be repeated Monday night at 9 o'clock, and sometime over the weekend we'll get posted on our website. Just go to the ktwh.org. There's a programs drop-down menu across the top, and when you click on that, you'll see lots of programs come down, and I think we're just like third or fourth in the list, listeners' voices. All of our so far six episodes are posted there now, and this one will be too soon, and eventually with some photographs.
Pet pictures,
right. Anything else to add? Next week, my job. Tell us about my first job. Tell us about your first job.
Or anything in between, maybe some in-betweener jobs that just snuck in there.
Right. I look forward at some point. We'll save this, although if you can't help yourself, you can do it this time too. Worst job ever. That'll be a prompt sometime in the future, I think. But started thinking about first jobs first.
All right.
All right, let's take it out with Goat Life.
Sounds good.
Laila, illa, anta, subha.
Fucking